This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Ah, the political mystery. So, Pappy Bush know what was going on here all the time? Kevin Randall?
Let's return to Daniel Sheehan and his problem. He wanted to discover the UFOs, and he's working with President Carter. Well, then Carter becomes president, so now he talks about how he got to see the secret, the classified Project Blue Book files, and there was stuff in there that hinted the photographs of the crash disks and things like that that Daniel Sheehan saw himself based on his research with Carter. So the question becomes, why didn't Carter tell anybody about this? Because Sheehan now has that information, and Carter is in the position to get that information. And again, I'm thinking I'm the president. I say to my director of Central Intelligence, give me the UFO stuff. And the guy says to me, well, you know, it's farmed out. There's a lot of pieces out there from a lot of different agencies. We're going to have to gather the information and give it to you. We'll gather the information and get it to you. And somehow that information never gets gathered, never gets presented to the president, because other things become more important. There are other aspects of running the country that suddenly take precedent over finding out about flying saucers, for example. And I think that's one of the ways it's going. But if you're looking at that, I would think the idea of the deep state is that we have this shadow government, and the people in that shadow government, in the appointed positions, the cabinet positions, the high-level governmental positions, are the same people from administration to administration to administration. And you look at who President Biden has appointed to his cabinet, they're guys from, and I shouldn't say guys, but men and women from the Obama administration, from the Clinton administration, from the Bush administration, that are moving back into those positions after President Trump got rid of some of those people. Now they're moving back into it. So they're now back in control of the information. And there are other people who would have been involved who didn't lose their jobs when Trump came in, but kept the jobs now, and they're moving up as well. So the deep state is manipulating the information that way, and it's all about retaining their power. So when we look at this stuff, there's a way to prevent the president from getting to it without saying, no, Mr. President, you can't see that information. You do not have the proper clearances, or it's not important. Like, you can claim to be writing, we're gathering the data and we'll get it to you. We're going to supposedly in June have this big massive report, and I will bet you donuts to dollars that the government is going to come out in redacted forms to the public. There's going to be secrets that they're not going to allow us to see, and there's probably not all the information in there, because you can make a pretty comprehensive report, especially in the world of UFOs, because we've got an awful lot of data that we can go back and mine and lead us to a specific conclusion that doesn't really follow all of the evidence. So I don't have great hopes for this report coming out, but there's ways of concealing the data by those who remain in the government for administration to administration to administration, and they understand the importance of retaining the secrecy of that information because it helps them retain their power.
Okay, wow. That was a real mouthful. I'm really glad that you went through all of that. And so I'm just going to sort of say some of that back to you, and you can let me know if I've got this right, because I did want to ask you, in no uncertain terms, based on your experience in the military, whether or not the president could be kept in the dark, you know, because you hear these things that like it's top secret cosmic, it's 33 levels above the president. And I've never been able to find any information to substantiate that. And it sounds to me like you just confirmed what I was saying and thinking that, no, the president has the final say. He wants it. He gets it. No question. And then you went on to talk about the deep state and made a whole bunch of really logical observations and I think really good conclusions about the state of affairs. And so what we're talking about here is gatekeepers, essentially, in high-level government positions who use various strategies to keep the secret over time.
There was a marvelous book written by a guy named John Barron called Operation Solo. Back in the 1930s, there was a couple of guys, Morris Childs was one of them, who were rabid communists. They believed in the communist way of life. They thought communism was the wave of the future. It was the way we should live. It was a wonderful utopian society that could be created. They became disillusioned. I say they. Morris Childs and his brother were both involved in this. Operation Solo was Morris Childs turned. He became a mole, if you will, for the FBI. It was run out of the New York office of the FBI. When President Kennedy was assassinated, Morris Childs happened to be in Moscow. And he's in the room with the Soviet leadership as they're learning that that President Kennedy had been assassinated. And what they didn't know is he could speak Russian. He didn't want them to know he could speak Russian. So he was listening to their conversations. And this is what I learned in the book, which I thought was fascinating. They were concerned that the U.S. government would blame the Soviet Union for the assassination of the president when they didn't have a hand in it. But the point simply is this was an operation that was run out of the FBI office. The president of the United States didn't know about it. There's very few people who knew about it, including much of the leadership of the FBI, didn't know about this operation where these guys were suddenly turned and they were stealing information from the Soviets and bringing it back to the United States. So that when President Kennedy challenged the Soviet Union during the Cuban Missile Crisis, President Kennedy knew about the sorry state of the Soviet ballistic missile force, because Morris Childs had learned about that and fed that information into the FBI. So his standing up to the Soviet Union at that point wasn't quite as dangerous as it would have seemed given what was going on in 1963. When Nixon resigned and Ford became president, he was going to be meeting with the leadership of the Soviet Union, and he was very worried about this meeting. And so he was brought into the secret. Apparently, President Nixon didn't know about it, and subsequent presidents didn't know about this operation until Morris Childs retired from his service and eventually died, and then the story could come out, because there could be no retribution by the Russians by the time he died. But the point simply is, here was something going on at a very high level, and the president and much of the governmental leadership didn't know what was going on. It was being run by, I don't want to say low-level FBI guys, but guys who were out in the field offices as opposed to in the offices in Washington, D.C., running this spy operation on the Soviet Union. So the point simply is, yeah, these things can be kept secret. They're kept secret as long as they need to be kept secret. And we have the same people, the same thing going on here with UFOs, that there is this information that is being kept secret. We get an awful lot of clutter, of noise from the outside about what is going on with UFOs and what is not going on. And part of that noise was the Robertson panel in 53 and the Condon Committee in 1969. That was part of the noise. Look at the Blue Book files. If you go through the Blue Book files, which are available online now for the most part, and read the files of the cases and look at the conclusions drawn by the investigators and how the media accepted those conclusions, you realize that we've been led down the primrose path on that. I'll go back to Leveland as an example. If you look at the Project Blue Book files, I believe the explanation says it's ball lightning. In 1957, in 1957, the idea of ball lightning was still being debated by science. We now know that ball lightning is a very short-lived phenomenon. It's very small, like 18 to 24 inches in diameter when you see it. You don't see it manifesting itself for a two-hour period in a very localized area in an object that's hundreds of feet in size and stalling car engines.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we know that, all of that, and that's absolutely true. And but, you know, just getting back to impressing this point upon people, because we still hear it out there. There's a big difference between, well, if they don't ask, don't tell, and if the president wants it, he gets it, right? Like, secrets are kept from the president. We know that Annie Jacobson wrote about that with respect to the Oxkirk Project as well. But if the president wants it and he says, or she says, go get it, is anybody entitled to say no?
Before we have an answer, we have these answers for you. with Kevin Randall, Gene Steinberg, J. Randall Murphy. You're in
the Paracast.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
I tried other brands, but I came back to my sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck, or back, or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad. Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
Our homegrown small business tries to help people just like us. That's why we design and test our handmade products with great care before we introduce them to the public. You can easily find Sunny Bay heating pads on Amazon. Just go to Amazon.com and search for Sunny Bay heating pads.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
For over 20 years, Extendivite has been helping people. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. Glad I found this product. I am 51 years old and started getting headaches a couple of times a week. I went to the doctor and my blood pressure was a little high at around 150 over 95. I found out about Extendivite and I ordered some to try it. Immediately, I felt better and it lowered my blood pressure and my headaches went away almost instant. I have been taking it now for about 4 months, and I am so glad I found this product. You won't be disappointed. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Has your body ever gone low blood sugar, feeling weak, shaky, knowing you better eat something fast? We all know high blood sugar can lead to many metabolic problems. At GCNteam.com, we have a healthy blood sugar pack, focusing on the structure and function of stable blood sugar. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Nothing feels worse than unstable blood sugar. Call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So Randall asked Kevin the question here, which is, if the president says, I want it, is there any way they can avoid that? And I'm thinking more in terms of somebody who's been a government insider for 100 years here, like Joe Biden. Now, he was in the Senate. He worked with intelligence for years. He was vice president. He's now president. How could you keep it from him?
Look, Joe, there's a ball of light over there. Distracted. I mean, that's a very, very comical way of saying it. But the question that was asked was, can they say no to the president? And then you changed it to, can they avoid answering the question?
Yeah, two totally different questions.
And sure. I think they can't say no, but they can avoid answering the question, which amounts to the same thing. So that's the thing. You know, I distract the attention. We've got to make a comprehensive report, Mr. President, so you understand this. And various agencies are involved. Let us assemble the data, and we'll get you a proper briefing. And somehow that proper briefing never gets done because other things intervene. And with the Carter administration, for example, you can take a look at the hostage crisis in Iran. With the Bush administration, meaning George W. Bush as opposed to H.W. Bush, you had airplanes flying into the towers and distracted everything if George W. Bush even wanted to know about UFOs. But there's always ways of distracting the president and other things that come up that become a crisis that has to be managed.
All right. Okay, got that. So now here's another question, too. And it goes back to when we were talking about, well, interstellar travel and the possibility of that and the challenges. Yes, they are great challenges. But there have been studies done even back in the 60s with Project Orion. And there's another one being undertaken now by the Breakthrough Starshot people. Talk about sending small probes off to Proxima Centauri that could get there well within a person's lifetime. So, I mean, it's not like it's an impossibility, but it is a really challenging endeavor, probably even for spacefaring civilizations, I would say. They'd have to be like pretty up there to be able to do it. So we have guys like Greer who say, obviously, any civilization capable of routine interstellar travel could terminate our civilization in a nanosecond if that was their intent. Right? But wait a minute. When we're talking about distances, the supply chain of launching a military invasion on another planet just seems to be like, okay, just getting here is hard enough. You know, unless they had some planet-killing weapon, which there really doesn't seem to be any evidence that that's the case, I don't think it would be that easy. What do you think?
If you're a spacefaring race and you want to destroy the Earth, all you got to do is throw rocks at it. And by that, I mean just move a couple of asteroids into collision course with the Earth, and we have massive destruction. You don't need to have a long supply chain, and we can't get up up into space to defeat them at this point. But the problem, you say, well, we've launched probes into interstellar space, and we actually have. It's taken 50 years for it to get out into interstellar space. The problem you have, Proxima Centauri is what, 4.1 light years away.
Yeah,
so to get there in 4 years, you've got to travel at the speed of light. But you have to get up to the speed of light, and you have to decelerate when you get to the other end. How much time does that add to your space flight? What are you using for fuel? You certainly can't use a chemical rocket. You've got to have some way of refueling the craft. You know, and if you're traveling at half the speed of light, then it's going to take you 8 years to get there. And if you're traveling at a quarter of the speed of light, what is 16 years to get there? And then you've got to make the return.
But that's all pretty reasonable. And that's all well within a person's lifespan. And the Project Orion, they were talking about nuclear propulsion, and they even drew blueprints for the thing.
Yeah, but the point is, you're talking about moving at the speed of light. As I said, you know, you've got to get to that speed. How long does it take to accelerate toward the speed of light? When you get to the other end, how long does it take you to slow down from that? And that all adds time to it. And we don't have the capability. They've drawn pants for it. Gee, we can talk about the warp drive of Star Trek if you want, but the point is, we don't have the capability to do it today. We have ideas on how to do it, and all we can do is get to Proxima Centauri, because it's only 4 light years away. What, the Alpha Centauri is, what, 12 light years away? As another close-by star system. And now we've changed the parameters because we're moving to something that's even farther away. So we don't have the capability to travel to any of the stars at this time, which, again, is not to say we're not going to develop the way to do that. The other thing I sometimes wonder is getting to a closer star more difficult than it is to a faraway star?
That's a good point. A really good point. But one of the things I'm getting here, though, too, is kind of like mixed messages, because on one hand, you sound pretty convinced that, especially back in the golden era of ufology, that the sightings back then and the incidents like Roswell and such represent real things that happened with real technology that was completely beyond our capability. Well, if that's the case and we believe that, then it didn't come from our civilization. So it had to be alien. Maybe it came from some alien civilization on Earth or a nearby planet, but that doesn't seem too likely. So the next is obviously interstellar.
And then we run into the hang-up. You know, if it wasn't for the problems with interstellar flight and we had some way of proving interstellar flight was feasible, not possible, but feasible, that's a different question.
Well, we do. Like I was just saying, Project Orion, they did blueprints. They could build the propulsion system for it if they wanted to. The problem is that they just didn't have the money and there was politics involved. And I mean, you'd have to look that one up. Then there's Breakthrough Starshot, which uses lasers and small probes. And that's well within our technology as well. I mean, if we really wanted to, we could build a craft that could get to another star system. I don't know about in a person's lifetime, probably. You know, that might be a bit of a stretch, especially if we had to start construction now. It would take a long time just to build the craft. But I think it could be done. And so if we could do it, then there's nothing stopping another civilization from doing it. And who says that they need to go light speed? What if they're space nomads and they can just wander around the universe and they have lifespans they don't die. They can just float around and do whatever they want for as long as they want. I mean, there's lots of ways to overcome the distance barrier.
Forgetting, folks, that in 2063, Zefram Cochrane will invent warp drive and will have first contact with the Vulcans. But in the real world, if that civilization has a head start on us of a few decades, a few hundred years, a few thousand years, they would probably have developed technology we can't even dream of except in the sci-fi stories. So there's no reason to assume just because we can't do it that they couldn't.
And all I'm saying is in our technology we can't do it. One thing you haven't factored into this is time dilation. Let us say you approach relativistic speeds. Time slows down for your spacecraft, but it's still going at the same speed here on Earth. What do they come back to? How long? So let's say it takes them 16 years to get to Alpha Centauri, Proxima Centauri. It's a triple star system, by the way, for those who don't understand. It's Alpha, Beta, and Proxima Centauri system. But so they can get there and they get back. So now, what, 300-400 years has passed on Earth while they're making their 16-year or their 8-year trip to the star. They're coming back to a civilization they don't understand.
Or maybe not exist. We've got more to come on the other side with Kevin Randall Jr. in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
The CDC says that the average number of COVID vaccines administered per day in the U.S. has fallen below 2 million for the first time since March. That slowdown is happening as close to half of adults in the nation have received at least one dose. White House Senior Advisor for COVID Response Andy Slavitt says the drop-off is not unexpected. He tells CNN that the key will now be in reaching those who are still hesitant to get vaccinated, but that the administration is confident that progress will continue to be made.
I think there are a number of people who would describe themselves as sort of on the fence. And when they say on the fence, they generally mean one of two things. Either they want to see the data, so they want to see what happens when other people are vaccinated, And there's great news because we've vaccinated so many people with such great results. And secondly, they mean, you know, I want it to be a little bit easier because I'm maybe younger and I'm probably not willing to jump through some of the hoops that people early had to jump through.
This is USA Radio News. During a visit to a Border Patrol facility on the southern border on Friday, Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas repeated that the border was closed, as he touted a steep decline in the number of unaccompanied minors being held in Border Patrol facilities. But critics say that's hard to believe with migrant apprehensions at a 20-year high. Congressman Troy Nels says the administration's efforts to stem the flow of illegal immigrants has done nothing. The Texas Republican tells Fox News that during a recent border visit, he saw migrants from more areas than just the Northern Triangle countries making the crossing.
Kamala Harris the other day was talking about the Northern Triangle, El Salvador, Guatemala, and Honduras, and the number of people entering up through Texas. But what we noticed in Yuma, as many of these individuals that are coming through the borders there outside of Yuma and San Diego are not from the Northern Triangles. They're from Russia, Cuba, Brazil, Romania. Russia and Romania, 6,000 miles from the Northern Triangle.
This is USA Radio News.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
This is Being the Merciless. You are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio, exactly according to my plan.
There may be nobody here to even recognize them, and if there is a civilization, they may be so primitive compared to what's going on that they'd be looked at in a way that, well, these are these old codgers from the 21st century. Really, let's just put them in a cage or something.
Well, there is that. There was a science fiction story done a number of years ago where they sent out a space probe, and it took them, you know, a decade or two to get to their destination, moving toward relativistic speeds. And when they got there, there were already humans on the planet. And the gag was they were from Earth. We just developed better ways of traveling, so they'd pass the original probe up before they could reach their destination.
Assuming, for example, that what we're doing now with looking into warp drive, now advance that 50 years, 100 years, 200 years, as you say, we may send that first craft, manned craft, to another star system. And as you say, by the time they get there, that technology will have supplanted what they've done, and they'll just be latecomers.
Yeah, they didn't get there in time.
You know, I think it's entirely possible that, assuming that we don't destroy ourselves or that there isn't some natural disaster like you spoke of earlier, Kevin, where, you know, we get hit by a giant asteroid or something, that we will develop that technology, and it will be so good that we will be able to go out and get the Voyager probe if we want.
Well, didn't Captain Kirk already do that?
Right. You know, kind of. It sort of came back to us a little bit modified in that movie.
And thank God that it saw Kirk as its creator, so it listened to him.
Creator Kirk.
But, I mean, we're talking theoretically
right.
Physics, and I'm not sure that any of us really have a background to intelligently discuss that other than at the very, very elemental levels.
You know, I know that you've looked into it. I mean, anyone who's interested in ufology has to take into account these possibilities. And it seems to me that a lot of the people that I talk to, yourself included, you know, we're not really stupid people. We're pretty good at figuring things out and using our brains. So, no, we might not be nuclear physicists, but we don't have to be.
The point I'm making is, and in today's society, we don't know how to do it. We don't know if it's possible. And to me, that is a real problem in understanding or accepting alien visitation.
Okay, we know things like warp drive. We don't know, well, actually, you're right. We don't know things like warp drive are possible. That's all theoretical. But we do know it's possible to build spacecraft and fly them around slowly. And there's nothing stopping us from building a really big spacecraft and flying it around slowly. And if we take into account other civilizations that could do that, I mean, if we could do it, they could do it. And if getting here doesn't matter, you know, how long it takes to get here really doesn't matter to them because they live for hundreds of thousands of years anyhow, then what is implausible about that?
They don't have to live for a long time. They could simply have multiple generations. Sure. Or they could use some kind of mechanism. Let's go back to Forbidden Planet or other concepts of this where they are put in some kind of suspended animation.
Yeah.
Our technology would allow us to do it today.
Sure.
I did a book, a science fiction novel a number of years ago about a generation ship, and the idea was they launch it from our solar system to colonize another planet. But the people who start out in the ship, they're not going to reach the other planet because they're going to be long dead. The idea is this ship is built so that it can continue to feed the people as the generations go, and it may take them 200 or 300 years to get to a destination, but the ship was designed for that specific purpose.
Sure.
So we're not moving at relativistic speeds. We're moving much slower than that.
So, yeah, and if we're just talking about within, you know, our local area, and maybe within 50 light years, there's, you know, possibility of quite a few planets. But yeah, and so this takes me back to, you know, if we believe that this stuff is going on, and you know, I find it hard not to believe that this stuff is going on when you talk to so many people who've experienced it firsthand, and you do the kind of research, especially the kind of research that you've done. I mean, mine has been very casual compared to yours. So, you know, maybe I'm missing a few things, but I just don't think it's reasonable to think that this stuff isn't happening and that people are all just misperceiving things that are mundane, everyday craft or phenomena. I do believe that these craft are real. So if that's the case and we're not making them, where are they coming from then?
The difference here is I'm looking at it from a different perspective.
Okay.
I look at the evidence that we've been able to amass as civilians. I don't know what the government may have hidden away. But looking at that, you know, I see all of that sort of thing. There's some very interesting photographs. There's landing traces. There's interaction with the environment. There's multiple chains of evidence leading us to these conclusions that there's something going on that seems to be extraterrestrial. For me, I set the bar a little bit higher to, I would like something more concrete to say, yes, definitely they're here. I will concede the point that it appears we're being visited by aliens. I have no qualms about conceding that point. The evidence seems to take us in that direction, and I can see the manipulation of the information by various agencies to lead us to a different conclusion. I get that as well. I'm just saying to be 100% positive, I need something a little bit more. Others say the preponderance of the evidence is in the favor of alien visitation, and I embrace that completely.
Okay, all right, I get it. I think we're on the same page then, because I will often say to people, okay, I fully admit that we don't have the verifiable material, scientifically valid evidence to prove alien visitation is a reality. Okay, fine, we don't have that. But I still think the rest of it is good enough to prove it to me personally.
Now, the thing I would wonder here, too, is we talk here, guys, we're talking here in very U.S.-centric kind of approach. Of course, Randall's in Canada, but even then. And we have to realize here, whatever we're doing and whatever we know inside the government, there are players out there elsewhere in the world who have their own priorities and may find it important or necessary to reveal things that we don't want to reveal. We can't stop that unless there's a worldwide conspiracy, which I rather doubt. What do you think, Kevin?
We get back to the deep state then. And what is the purpose of the deep state? To retain power. And you're going to have the same motivation in all these various countries in the world. So how do I retain power? If I present the evidence that aliens are visiting it, does that enhance my position? Does that increase my power, or does that harm me in some fashion? And so it's all about personal motivation or individual motivation. And it may be, again, a very, very American-centric point of view, but what if the only real UFO crash was Roswell in 1947? We're in possession of the actual proof, and the other countries don't have, they have some of the evidence, but they don't have that final bit of evidence, that concrete bit of evidence. In a number of years ago, the Australians, and I say decades ago, were looking at the work of Don Kehoe, suggesting that UFOs were alien spacecraft. And the Australian Air Force approached the American Air Force and asked about that. And what the American Air Force did was run down Kehoe. Well, you know, he's a clown. You can't believe anything he says. He doesn't know what he's talking about. But here's the truth. And the Australian Air Force said, okay, thank you very much. And they said, yeah, there's nothing to it.
We have something to this. You'll find out as you listen to it. Gene, Kevin, Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach, at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus doesn't grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system. And it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A.com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com. Or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5, California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. And the IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
This is Micah Hanks of the Gray Alien Report, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Well, one excuse, but I would think here if a government leader in one of these other countries, a Putin, or less so the head of China, if they were facing some internal struggle, they may find it advantageous to say that we have the secret. Also, there's no reason to think that if the Roswell crash is what most believe it to be, a spaceship, that there isn't something similar or better in the hands of another country.
The other thing you have to remember is in intelligence work, you don't admit anything to the other side. The last thing you want to do is let them know, even though the other side could present something that makes your position untenable, you ignore that possibility until they do it. You assume they're not going to do it, and you continue to march in the direction. When I was an intelligence officer in the Air Force, at Richards Gavau Air Force Base, I got a call from a reporter, and I don't know which Kansas City newspaper it was, but he called, and he'd gotten some information over the newswire about an event that took place somewhere. I don't remember the details. I knew all about it. I'd read the classified documents. I knew all about it. And he's asking me questions about it, and I'm telling him, I don't know. I have no idea what you're talking about. And he's yelling at me for being stupid and a lousy intelligence officer. And I'm thinking, yeah, the last thing I want to do is say, yes, I know about this, because now I've just confirmed the information for him. Regardless of how much I've said, I've confirmed that information. And he goes, you know, a source at Richards Gavauer, an intelligence officer at Richards Gavauer said this is all true. Well, that didn't happen because I just denied everything. And I think that's part of what's going on here, is that is in the interest of each of these government agencies, we have to look away from some of the governments. They just do not have the wherewithal to know these things. It just doesn't happen in their arenas. It's not close to them. They have other issues to deal with. We're looking at, you know, maybe the Chinese have something, maybe the Russians had something, or the Germans, or, you know, that sort of thing. We know the Canadians don't have anything because they're in Canada, and if they were...
We never have anything. We had the Avro Arrow.
But I mean, the point is not everybody would have access to all the information that we have, especially if we've got a craft. And it may be that Brazil might have something that leads them that direction, but they don't have the ultimate proof. And so we're relying on the fact that we have the ultimate information. They don't have the ultimate information. I no longer am able to speak English, by the way.
Hey, we have a landing pad. But, you know, do you guys have one of those? Like, come on.
Kevin, your universal translator has failed.
Oh, that's a real bummer. I'll tell you. Don't we have something like that now?
Language? Google Translate, yeah, sure. Oh, hey, Kevin.
Yes.
We've got a question. Okay, we got another question here. We have this thing called the question bank, and it's on our community forums. And once in a while, people still post questions in there. And when Russi Shackelford saw that you were coming on the show, he wanted to ask, I think Kevin spent a good deal of time researching MJ-12 documents, so I'd be interested to know who he thinks created them and why. And then he's got another question after that. So Stanton said, look, there's something to them. All right. Most of them are fake. But, you know, he still stuck to his guns about that. Like, there's something to them there. This wasn't just, you know, some guy that decided to pull a prank on us. What do you think?
I think it was just some guy decided to pull a prank on us. No, I did a book called Case MJ-12. I updated it a couple of years ago to bring in new information. I think it's pretty clear that Bill Moore and Richard Doty came up with this whole idea. Barry Greenwood and Brad Sparks, I think, did a paper at a MUFON symposium a number of years ago where they outlined the evidence for this. And I think that was pretty conclusive evidence they outlined, and I cite that in the book. And I think if you go to my blog, that there's information about that as well on my blog, and it'll link you to other places where you can get additional information. But I think the real point is Greenwood and Sparks got into Bob Pratt's papers. And Bob Pratt was, at one time, he was the editor of the MUFON Journal. He was a reporter for the National Enquirer who did the UFO stuff. He was very interested in UFOs. He'd done a lot of work. He and Bill Moore sat down in 1980 to write a book about a Air Force Office of Special Intelligence, of a special investigation guy who gets on to the secret of UFOs. And the committee that he was chasing was MJ-12 or something like this. But the book never went anywhere. It didn't do anything. It never got finished. And when the MJ-12 stuff broke, Pratt went back to Bill Moore and says, maybe we ought to dust off our manuscript because, it talks about this sort of thing. There's no evidence of MJ-12 that we can find in any documentation that isn't questioned. The idea that the person who created these documents had to have some kind of inside knowledge is untrue. All you needed was an access to some documentation that you could manipulate and you could alter to make it look like MJ-12 was something. And Bill Moore admitted to retyping a document that mentioned MJ-12, admitted it to Dick Hall, that sort of thing. Here's the other thing I forgot, and this is the important, really important part. Bill Moore had gone to a number of people, Stan Friedman being one of them, a couple of other people, Brad Sparks may have been one of them as well, and said that he was thinking of creating a Roswell-like document because he'd come up against the brick wall and he couldn't take the investigation any further than he had, which showed a real lack of imagination in the investigative process. But he was going to create a fake document and leak it into the public arena and then say to these guys, if the information is out, so you might as well tell me about it.
Right, and shake the tree and see what falls out.
Yeah, and lo and behold, pretty soon, Bill Moore's got an MJ-12 document. This is really odd. In fact, it was Stan Friedman who told me that. And later on, I talked to Friedman about it, and he said, no, I never said anything like that. I said, I was sitting there in the room when you told me about it.
Well, so do you think Stan was then just sort of like a pawn in the game? Because, he talks about actually making plans to go visit the National Archives in person and going there and then finding some of his information there. So, what was it? These people knew he was going there, decided that they'd get there first, plant the documents for Stan to find?
He didn't find any documents in the National Archives.
Well, he writes about it in his book.
No, the person who found it was Bill Moore.
No, he writes about it himself. Like, he went there.
He went there. I went there.
Right.
That's
and
not
so,
the point. The point is, when he went to do the research, the only document he could find was the Cutler Twining memo, which had been, but Bill Moore had already been there, and it was clear that Bill Moore planted that in the National Archives.
All right. Anything Stan did find, it was planted, and these guys are just sort of pulled one over on him. Or do you think he was a willing participant?
What did Stan find?
I'd have to go back and get my reference books. I don't have that specific of memory.
He was relying on Bill Moore to find this stuff. So when he talks about finding stuff in the National Archives, it's Bill Moore who found it. He found it in there with Sheehan. What's his face?
What bothers me about Stan And, you know, I don't like to speak ill of the dead. I liked him. He was a fun guy to talk to. We had him on the show a number of times. He never gave up his advocacy of MJ-12, even when all this stuff came out, the work you did, etc., indicating the clear sources of it. He never gave up on it.
Well, it was the same way with Gerald Anderson. We proved Gerald Anderson lied repeatedly about his involvement on the plains of San Augustine. And
right,
Stan,
yeah.
And Stan finally, they put a note in the MUFON Journal, Don Berliner and Stan Friedman did, about repudiating the Anderson testimony. Later, Stan Friedman still saying, well, Gerald knew something. No, Gerald didn't know anything. He lied about his involvement in the Navy being a Navy SEAL. He forged documents. He lied about being in Winfred Buskirk's anthropology class at the Albuquerque High School. My God, we put him in the same classroom, and Anderson did. I know it wasn't me. Stan knew that. Stan knew that because I have a letter from Buskirk, who said that Stan had talked to the same people at the Albuquerque High School I did, and they told me that Anderson had taken the anthropology class, Buskirk's anthropology class in the fall semester, and then he took French in the spring semester. Stan knew that we'd put him in the same classroom, and he still said, well, Anderson was telling the truth. No, Anderson was making this stuff up. He forged documents, for God's sakes.
That's really great, and we could go on with that a little bit more, but Russie's got another question here, too. And have we got time for this, Gene, or should we do it after the break?
Let's do it after the break, okay? We have one more question, and this, you know, relates to a similar thing, and I have something I want to bring up from an article from The Debrief, which will be quite relevant. We have Kevin Randall, Gene Steinberg, and the one and only J. Randall Murphy. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.